I'd like to have you take your Bibles as we consider tonight the Lord's view of child abuse, a scriptural perspective. The Lord's view of child abuse. First place we want to visit in the scriptures is at Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. Long before statesmen and legislators began crafting laws to protect children, God's law was already on the books. And it is good for Christian people to know just exactly what his perspective is. In Matthew 10, verse 42, for example, we will draw from these statements by way of application. Because in each of these texts, Jesus is using children to teach adults a deep spiritual lesson, a deep truth. But in verse 42, whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only. Okay, now just stifle that for a moment. In chapter 25, verse 40, you may remember in another context, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me, which is the sense, the concluding sense of Matthew 10:42. God looks at the treatment of children in a very, very partial way, affectionately partial. So whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water is in a sense demonstrating a heart for the same group of people that the Lord does. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 5, where he says, whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. That's Matthew 18:5. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Now that's if we put all this stuff together, and keeping in mind that we are drawing from these context application truths, we can gain from this that there is at least a hint of the Lord's affectionate partiality toward children. At least that. And again, keep in mind, he was using children to teach adults truth. Truth. Jesus was a great one to use props, so to speak, to teach truths. Nothing like a visual. And then it is said there in Mark chapter 9 and verse 36. Mark 9 verse 36. For example, how he did this, he said, he took a child and he set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me. And then he adds this, and him that sent me. Not only is there a deep hint of divine partiality toward children in the as mirrored in the heart of Christ, but that is also to be said of the Father. It is also that we should take into consideration another statement, though we don't have it labeled here, is with regard to angels and children. For in heaven, their angels do always look upon them. And so there are, with regard to the divine Trinity and the angelic host, a particular interest in the welfare of children. A pooling of these references, there is at least a hint of that. But there is a precaution given in Matthew 18 verse 6. Matthew 18:6 has a precaution. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck. A precaution. The word offend there has a double nuance to it. On the one hand, when you take the word scandal or scandalizo here, you have the idea where the word offend is inserted of an individual attempting to trip up, physically trip up a child. Now, again, we stretch this out as liberally as possible, and we can take from that by using or looking at Old Testament passages of how children were treated in ceremonies and rituals in pagan cultures and then adopted by the Israelites, and know that there is in the heart of God a hatred for physical abuse of children. So here is in verse 6, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, to trip up. Now that's one side of that, to entrap or to lead to sin, to cause someone to stumble, to just trip up. And there is also, if you take the whole of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, you can, without any imagination whatever, write into this notion physical, violent physical abuse. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones has a millstone coming. And then there is the second light to this, where there is a form of seduction that springs out of the same word. A form of seduction, whether it is sexual or emotional. Sexual or emotional. That you can pack in and spin right out of the word offend there in that precaution. Now the effect of that is, the effect of the offense is to alienate the child from God. One of the main things that you can read about and hear different people involved in the child protection industry is that abused children have a problem with authority. Abused children have a problem with authority. Not only do the abused children have the problem with authority, but after they reach adulthood, there are sniffs of resentment to authority tracked all through their life. And why would you say that is? Because it would be an adult authority figure who abused them. Someone older, someone who is supposed to have their best interest and their well-being at hand, abused them. And so there is a precaution given here. Abused children struggle with authority because an authority figure abused them. That's just one spoke of the wheel. But also, if you look at Matthew 18 and verse 10, it says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Despise not one of these little ones. In its raw form, it involves a thinking against the child. A thinking against the child. To treat poorly, to berate, or to demean. Like, for example, you have the effect of that seen in Ephesians chapter 6, the first several verses, where it says, fathers, with regard to their children, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And the sense of that is, the sense of that comes right out of here, where there is a berating and a demeaning. And so the precaution involves these two words, to offend with its two nuances, to despise or to hold in contempt these children, which is in itself, I mean, if a child is subject to nothing but verbal abuse, it is deemed, as in the law stated, mental abuse. Now, where that can be derailed, as we'll see, and I don't want to get too far on a rabbit trail, is that sometimes it has been put forth that where churches are concerned, if a Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school teacher, or a pastor is confrontational in the sermons or the lessons and deals directly with sin so as to make the child feel uncomfortable, it can be construed as mental abuse. All right. Now, set all that aside for a minute. The reality of it is that the Bible teaches us, no matter what the law has to say, is you don't, parents do not and are not to provoke their children to wrath in the usage of these kind of methods to discipline or to control in some form or fashion. When we think of Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, you see the perpetrator's penalty. Very fitting that a millstone should be inserted into the text. In 18:6, it says, whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now that is there because it is an observation taken by the Lord pointing back to an ancient practice where, people, men, women, or children, for whatever crimes were determined, were oftentimes punished in this fashion, the penalty for their misdeed. But the application or the word millstone is aptly approached because typically, when you have, again, a peek into the ancient culture of grinding wheat, generally it was done in one of two ways predominantly. Either by the hand of a slave turning the millstone, or it was turned with an ass. So you might say that the millstone here is an ass's millstone, which I think is an appropriate penalty for a perpetrator of child abuse, if you catch my drift. Because that's basically the level that they arrive to. So there is the penalty there. And the drowning is drowning. Mark and Luke have it as cast into the sea. Well, you don't have to use the word drown, but you can imagine for yourself with a millstone tied around the neck and hands tied behind your back and you're chucked into the water. There's only one place you go. You're not going to float for any length of time. Okay. You're going to go right to the bottom. And the only thing that's going to float is your feet by and by. That's what's going to be up toward the surface. So that's the penalty. Now please catch and keep in mind that that is the Lord's own declaration. That's what he thinks of child abuse. Now what does he do about it? It is said there in verses 15 and 16, or pardon me, in Luke 18 verses 15 and 16, they brought unto him also children, little children, that he shall put his hands on them. And what did the disciples do? Whether you read it in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, what did the disciples do when they started bringing the little children to him? They rebuked the parents. When Jesus saw that, he did at least two things, and we've already covered one. Number one, he imposes judgment on abusers. But number two, what he did was directly intervene. And he says, suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not. He invited them to come to him. He directly and personally intervened in the process. So whenever you think about this, this whole matter of what he did, keep in mind something else that, again, by way we extract an application out of Acts chapter 9, verse 5. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus did where Saul of Tarsus was concerned, who was busy involved in persecuting, torturing, and tormenting and abusing the body of Christ? Do you remember what the Lord Jesus did? And this is a lesson for me and you who are mandatory reporters of child abuse. He directly intervened and stopped it. He directly intervened and stopped it. Now, we take from that a perspective, brief, of the Lord's viewpoint of abuse. Be it child abuse, elder abuse, Christian abuse, he directly intervened and he stopped it. Now, Saul probably ought to be, and I'm sure he is very grateful that the Lord chose to use him instead of put a millstone around him. But that's what you have with regard to the Lord's viewpoint on this subject of abuse. Now, all that perhaps is a bit detached from anything that you might typically come to expect, but once you think through what I just gave you to read and some of the things that are spinning off sideways, it'll make more sense to you as we unfold that.